There you go. All right. Time to get started. Now I'm starting out someplace else. If you have your Bibles with me, turn to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. Page 1738, if you got a Bible like Butch's.
I got a Bible
like Butch's. 1738. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. It says, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, saying, the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If you want to turn with me back to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, page 1617, if you have a Bible like Butch's. Verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteous with the lawlessness, and that communion has light with darkness? And for this accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, in those two texts, he's talking about establishing a new covenant, a new relationship with people. You know, the Old Testament shows us that God's desire from the time of creation was to fellowship with man. And man sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, he was kicked out of Eden, etc., etc. But our message is not what went wrong. It's what God has done to bring us into a knowing God, into knowing God, through faith, to walk with Him even in trying times. God's desire, as we can get from these verses, was to have us know Him, and that's why He sent Jesus to be a fulfillment of the word that he had proclaimed from the beginning. Amen. It tells us that Jesus was with the Father when he laid out the plan. Yes. It tells us that he was delivering to the people what was going on, what was it being established in the heavens and in the earth. And God's desire was to show us and to have us to know Him personally. Title of my message was Knowing God. Well, God wants us to know Him to the point where He is not an evil monarch or an evil ruler that is out to get everybody. You know, you make one bad move, bang, you're gone. But He wants us to know Him as the Heavenly Father. Father, Abba, Father. Father, Father. It's not one of the greatest things. I know a lot of people knew my dad. And my dad was known by half of Wayne County, Cabell County, so on and so forth. And people knew him. They'd see him. Hey, how you doing? All this other stuff. But you see, knowing of somebody is not knowing the person. See, a lot of people in church, they know of God, but they do not know God. In the sense that God has said these things and brought it into me, and now I am the one that is in a personal relationship with God. You can know all the scriptures you want to. When I was pastor of another church, I had a gentleman who could quote me verbatim scripture for scripture. Every one I'd give him, he'd give me one back. But see, he didn't know God. He knew the Word, but he didn't know God as a personal Savior. As a matter of fact, he would, at the end of the conversation, he'd say, "You're really good, but I don't believe that stuff." Well, see, the difference between me and him was I believed it. I understood what God was doing. God had a desire to have a personal relationship with me. God had a desire to have a personal relationship with him. The only difference was that I was willing to have that relationship with God, but he wasn't. I've had people tell me, "Well, you know, when I get right, I'll have that relationship that you've got." Well, what's keeping you from getting right? Well, just not right now. You see, there's always an excuse. Matthew chapter 11. I want to get to this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. 11:27, page 1310, if you have a Bible like Butch's. It says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father." This is Jesus speaking. "And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal himself." In other words, you can know about God, but you have to be shown who God really is. To know him, to be classified one of his children. When my father was alive, and we would go into the house late at night, and we'd turn on a TV show or something like that. All of us had a place to sit. All of us had a place to lay. I laid on the floor a lot, and my dad on the couch, and so on and so forth. And as we did that, I got to know my father. I was talking to my sister the other day, and she said, "You know, my dad was a TV repairman, and in that, our TV went out. But he didn't want to fix ours because it had been all day he was working on other people's things, you know, their TVs, their radios, and so on and so forth. So he didn't want to work on ours. But he had a favorite show on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, Thursday night at 6 o'clock, he fixed the TV. Because it was that type of relationship. We knew what was going to happen. We didn't argue with Dad. We knew what Dad was going to do. That's what God wants us to understand. He may not do things the way we think He ought to do them, but He is going to do them in the way that benefits us the most. It's going to be that God sees, it says that He sees the end from the beginning. And if that's so, from my beginning to my end, He knows the path that I will take. And He will be along the way. He met me on that journey through life and brought knowledge of Him to me. You see, I didn't know anything about church. I hadn't gone to church. I went with my wife to church, but, you know, I was more interested in her than I was the sermon. So I sat in the back and I sat with her. And the other little kids were playing on us and this and that and the other. I really didn't pay any attention to the messages. But you know, there was one day I didn't go with her. And all of a sudden I caught my car following her to church. So I got to church and she was already seated with other people. So I snuck into the church in the back behind the biggest guy I could find, which was Wellman, Bobby Wellman. And he was sitting there, big old boy. I mean, you know, big. And I hid behind him. The preacher preached, he delivered a message, then he gave the altar call, and he said, you know, you need to come forward if God's dealing with your heart. And at that moment, God was dealing with my heart, but I didn't know what was going on. I was just, I want to, but no, I'm not. Everybody, I said to myself, if I go forward, everybody's going to think I'm a sissy. And the preacher said, you know, the devil's told somebody in here if they come forward, they'd be a sissy. And a couple other things I thought, and he answered all of them, saying that that is the devil trying to keep you from coming forward. Well, the next thing you knew, I was up front. Yeah. And someone come along and said, well, did God do what He said He'd do? Well, He said He was going to do it. I didn't think He had a choice. In other words, I knew at that moment in time when I said, I am sorry for my sins, that God had delivered me. There was a change in my heart. There was a change in who I was. I didn't know scriptures and verses and all these other things. Matter of fact, my father-in-law always asked a question in Sunday school. And us kids would answer those questions. And I didn't know anything, but he asked what was something that the spies brought back from the promised land. And I said, pomegranates. Yeah, that was it. Man, I thought I was King Kong. But you see, what I'm getting at is it's not your knowledge of the things of God. It's your knowledge of God. Who God is. What God's desire for you is. Is it to wait and have a club and every time you make a mistake to whop you one? No. We have been born of Him and He has given us His nature and placed it in us. The Word of God tells us that we are married or we're one spirit with God. So when you get to looking at, am I a Christian? Then you start going down the checklist of the things that describes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. if those match you, then there is no doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're a Christian. So, it says, we're married, we're one spirit with God. Knowing Him is entering in to the things of God. He has come into us, and we have entered into Him. In other words, it's a bonding relationship, just like I entered my fingers together. God has said we are so intertwined that when I do that, it's hard for me to pull them out. And what God wants us to see is that even in the Exodus, where God told them about the tabernacle and the courtyard and all those things, the post for that courtyard had two tongs on the end of them. And then it set in a socket of silver, and that socket of silver represented redemption. So our salvation is seated in the redemption that God has brought to us. Jesus said to the Father, no one has plucked them out of my hand, neither can they pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, see, that was the two tendons that pole of salvation stood in, the redemption of God. The Father and the Son holding on to the individual, retaining that individual in the redemption of God, in the Spirit of God. You see, we're talking about what God does, not what we do. In other words, my salvation is dependent upon God, not me working my way through, me being educated or learned or studying or whatever, but it's being in a covenant relationship with the Father through the Son. And in so being, all these attributes that I'm talking about here are ours because Christ redeemed us. So if we get to know God, we get to understand that it wasn't our talent, our abilities, our knowledge, our quoting of scriptures, our church attendance, but it was the redemption of Jesus Christ through the Father who brought Him to redeem us, to establish a covenant relationship with Him. And we're married in one spirit to God. He knows us in an entering, intimate relationship. He has come into us, and we have entered into Him. You see, that's what I did with my fingers and my hands, was I intertwined both of them. My fingers are in my fingers, which are in my fingers, which are in my fingers. I hope that was enough. But anyway, there's no way, if I decide to not release with the one hand, that I can get the other hand out. So what I'm trying to demonstrate is that God the Father has a covenant relationship with us through His Son. Those hands have us sitting in the redemption of Christ, and in so doing, we have the ability to know God. You see, it's not knowing of God, not knowing of... You see, I know of airplanes. I can't build you an airplane. I can't tell you exactly everything that an airplane has to fly. So it doesn't do any good to have me as an architect of an airplane because I don't know it. But see, when we are talking about God, we are talking about God who knows all things, who knows me personally, and that there's a spiritual bonding that has taken place in the Word of God, in me, that has delivered me, set my feet upon the rock to say, as the prophet said. And as I am seated in that, I begin that walk of fellowship with God. And that is the key to Christianity, is to realize that I have that covenant relationship with God. I have that relationship with God that no man can pull me out of. You see, I can falter, I can fall. I remember one time we were walking through the woods, Dad and I, and I slid and fell, and just about a half a second before I hit the ground with my nose, Dad had jerked me back up on my feet. Dad was always there to walk with me and talk with me and to guide me along the way. He would let me walk until I had a difficulty, then he was there to deliver me. And see, a lot of times we talk about knowing God and knowing the things of God, but do we really know God? Do we really know that His heart's desire is to have that intimate relationship with us? You know, one of the things that happens with my wife and I is that we have been together for so long that I'll want a cup of coffee or something, and the next thing, I don't even ask her, the next thing I know, she's bringing a cup of coffee into my office.
All right, Debbie.
But see, that's the intimacy, and that's the knowledge of each other. You see, and that's what I'm getting at, is God wants that relationship with His children. Faith puts us in that area with God, and there's a call to consecrate and sell out ourselves to the hand of God. We got to sell out to God. We got to sell out to His Word. We got to sell out to His work. And prepare ourselves for what is now upon us. In other words, God said, I'm going to do this for you. Are you ready? My dad used to ask me, do you know how to do something? Well, yeah, Dad, I saw you do it 100 times. But see, watching somebody and not paying attention is two different things. Do we watch God? Do we watch God in church and see what He does for other people, but He never seems to do it for us? Maybe not, we're not willing to be what God wants us to be or who He wants us to be in every aspect. Lord, I don't care what other people think. I want to worship You. I want to praise You. I want to magnify Your name. I want to show them that in my life, it's not a matter of what I do or how much I do. It's a matter of what we do together, God. It's taking God at His word and saying, God, I love You and I am going to be whatever You desire for me to be, so that I can show the world not just my salvation that I had once upon a time and I've forgotten about over these years, but that You and I are in that intimate relationship together, and that, wait a minute, there you go. The Father loves me because Jesus loves me. That's in John 16:27. The Father loves us because Jesus loved us. You see, it's that covenant. You remember the two hands I showed you in that staff of redemption? The Son and the Father holding on, not letting go of that redemption, not allowing that to be taken away from Him. And the God that I serve, the God that I love, the God that served me, and the God that I pray to in faith in Christ Jesus. You see, it's a matter of knowing God has done all these things, demonstrated them through His Son, to reveal to us that He has an everlasting covenant with us, and all I have to do is be willing to be His servant, be willing to know Him and to have knowledge of Him, and know that every aspect of my life, if I am willing to surrender it to Him, will be taken care of. That is knowing God. Philippians 3:10-14, talking about it's the time to press in. It's time for us to press into God, into one another, and against the darkness, into the harvest of God. You see, what the devil wants us to do is have contention and strife and bitterness and division, rather than knowing that it is Christ Jesus who is walking among us. He's my brother. He's my father. He's your father. He is your brother. I mean, we could tie that relationship together so tight that, you know, you can't expect anything but the blessings of God to be on you. So what's waiting for us in knowing that Christ is our Father, that the Son and the Father are one in redemption of us? It's resurrection power out of a flowing of God. You see, we're being resurrected every day. You know, some people think resurrection is, you know, when I die and I lay there 1,000 years and finally Christ comes back and He gives a shout and I get up. They don't think there's any life in between the death and the resurrection. But the Word of God says that we have that resurrection power flowing in us right now. And that our fellowship is with Him. You see, fellowship is what you do when nobody else is paying attention. See, I was talking to my brother over here a while ago, and we talked about something that other people didn't hear. But you see, we had fellowship in that conversation. We had fellowship in knowing what each other was talking about. You see, when we have fellowship with God, it's not just knowing, hey, there's a God someplace. It's knowing that in my life and in every aspect of it, God is there. It says that He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Well, if He's an ever-present help, He's with me everywhere I go. Every place I go. Everything that I say, He hears. That fellowship, that partnership, our part of His suffering is all wrapped up into one. I remember one time I was preaching on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And it became so real to me. I was preparing for Sunday, but this was Saturday, or Friday. It was Good Friday. And I was working out in the yard and I was doing things. And as I would drop a pole into the hole, I could hear the cross being raised up and dropped into the hole. And I would run in the house and tell my wife what time of the day it was. You know, Jesus is hanging on the pole right now. I mean, I heard it go into the ground. Later on, you know, at the third hour, the sky got dark. And sure enough, at third hour of that day, the sky got dark. And it didn't lighten up until about 3 o'clock. And it was the exact sequence of things that were happening on the day of the cross. And to me, it was like being there and living it, knowing that I was in such a fellowship with God that God was sharing His Son with me. You see, it doesn't have to be visual. It doesn't have to be audio. It just, you know that God has that intimate relationship with you. Knowing God is knowing His character, knowing what He desires for us, and standing in faith in God's Word, in looking in His Word. You know, you know who this was written to? Do you know who this was written to? This book right here? This one book right here was written to me. It's my book. You got a book. You got a book just like pastors. You see, what he's getting at is it's not knowing about God. It's knowing God. Knowing that all these things were done just for you. And they were done, if you were the only person that needed salvation, the plan would have been the same. But Jesus said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I know everybody in here is a whosoever. You see, God is no respecter of persons. Amen. And what I wanted to get across tonight was we can know of God or we can know really, really know God. Amen. And what I want in my life is to know God rather than to know about God. Amen? All right. That's it. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you for everything that you have done. We thank you for blessing us and just sharing your Holy Spirit in our hearts and as we fellowship together. And Father, we ask that your Spirit go with us and lead us to our homes safely and to back at the next appointed time. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.